Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." Lord Jesus, come soon. We await your coming. We ask your Holy Spirit to rest upon us and guide us into all the truth, that we might be your faithful witnesses in the world. We ask it all in your name. Amen. Please be seated. Just going to leave that slide up there. That is something from our new Anglican Catechism. And it's a great reminder and a teaching of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which lives within us. We are at week 3 in our 4-week series on the Apostles' Creed. And that means today our focus is on the third part of the Creed, which says, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Well, the framers of the original Apostles' Creed didn't add anything more to that. It's pretty short. The creed we usually use in our service is called the Nicene Creed. It's a lot longer. It's longer because between the time the Apostles' Creed was written and about the year 325, there were all these false teachings that were cropping up. People were saying, well, the Holy Spirit isn't God, somebody else. So in 325, the bishops of the church got together and pulled out what little hair they had left and said, okay, here it is. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is God. Those words were added, and the Nicene Creed is longer because of the false teaching that always wants to come in. It's always there knocking on the door. The creeds stand as a framework to keep us rooted in biblical truth. Our passage today that we're looking at is from John 14, and the purpose of these verses here is to let us hear Jesus teaching his disciples about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is a precious gift from John's gospel. Just before Jesus goes to Gethsemane and the cross, he gives this really deep teaching, and there's so much here about the Holy Spirit that we wouldn't otherwise know. It's beautiful. We know the Holy Spirit has more than one ministry. He has many ministries, but we'll focus on one particular one this morning. Let me read to you from our new catechism as it describes the Spirit. It's a fairly long sentence, but listen to this. The Holy Spirit imparts life to every living thing in creation, reveals God's word to his people, and calls sinners to a new life of faith in the saving and life-giving work of Jesus. The Holy Spirit unites Christians to Jesus, indwelling them, convicting them of sin, giving them spiritual gifts, and bearing spiritual fruit in their lives. It's a fantastic summary. If you would like a copy of the Catechism, it will soon be published by Crossway Publishing, or I can give you a PDF. Just send me an email. It's a beautiful teaching tool. My focus today is on one of the aspects of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the teaching ministry. What he does when he teaches us. As he teaches us the meaning of Jesus' words, and as he reminds us of what the words mean. I think it's safe to say that without this teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, we would have absolutely no spiritual fruit in our lives. We would know very little about the Word of God. We might hear it read, but we'd have no teacher. Remember what it was like in elementary school? Remember the teacher would say, "I'll be back in 5 minutes, I'm going to the office." Remember what happened the second that door closed? You were in that classroom. I was part of that too. It was pure chaos. That's what happens when the Holy Spirit isn't with us to teach us. It's chaos. The Word of God becomes what I want it to mean. And I can do all kinds of weird things with it. And before I know it, I'm receiving God's blessings just because Rob Zoe is a great guy. That's not at all what the Word of God says. Thankfully, by God's grace, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us. Jesus is saying he's right here with you, next to you. So a question to keep in mind as we go through the passage, what do you need the Holy Spirit to teach you personally? Are you lacking in some areas, wanting to grow in some areas? If so, ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to come and to make up what's missing. My assumption here is that we all have areas where we need teaching. It's a lifelong process. You never fully arrive. We have one example of these needs in John 14:22. Jesus has just said he's going away and the world won't see him, but his disciples will see him. Judas, not Judas the betrayer, asks a question. He says, "Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" That question shows a desire for Jesus to reveal his kingdom then. Don't wait, Lord. Do it now. Because if you don't do it now, what's going to happen? We're going to end up persecuted. The kingdom is going to stop. It won't advance. And evil is going to continue to rule the day. Well, in answer to the question, Jesus points to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Notice he doesn't say, "I'm going to give you all these supernatural gifts." He doesn't say that. There are other places where he talks about that. His answer shows that God's kingdom will make inroads, guaranteed. The Lord's kingdom will advance, but not in the way the disciples expected. The kingdom will come, but through the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit gets behind the words of Scripture and drives them home and changes God's people. There's a summary of how this happens in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, where he says, "Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to do what? To equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." You're equipped through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's textbook is what Jesus calls his teaching in John 14:23. And he says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching." So how do you love Jesus? We're not talking about a warm, fuzzy feeling, although that can be part of it. It's as we obey his teaching and then put it into practice. I'd like to make one major point from John 14 this morning about the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to love and obey Jesus. That's his main role here in his teaching ministry. Teaches you how to love and obey Jesus. Remember Judas's question in verse 22. Behind the question is a nagging fear that the disciples would be left on their own, left to fend for themselves, left to proclaim this saving gospel of Christ under their own power and using their own skill. Jesus said, "No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen." The Holy Spirit comes. He teaches you to love and obey Jesus. How? Mainly through a deep and regular engagement with the written Word of God. That may sound a little boring to us at times. We may think, "Well, I really kind of prefer the supernatural gifts. They get a lot more attention." But Jesus says here, the Holy Spirit works through the teaching of his Word, and the Word is made available to us in a few different ways. Right now, as you listen to a sermon, through group Bible study, through your own private devotional reading, the Holy Spirit uses Christian authors as you read good Christian books. The Holy Spirit uses those as well. When you engage with the Word and you pray and you reflect, then the Holy Spirit is guiding you and teaching you. It's important that you take advantage of these opportunities to engage in all these ways, to pray for deeper understanding and insight and memory. Pray to the Lord and ask him to send the Holy Spirit to help you remember what you've read. Now, learning is one thing, but then we also, of course, need to put it into practice. When we put it into practice, that becomes obedience. It's easy to obey, isn't it, as you're sitting at home with your cup of coffee in the morning and you read this and it says, "Love your enemies." "Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, no problem. I'll do that." And then you get out in your day and you run into one of your enemies and you think, "Oh." And then the Holy Spirit reminds you of what you've read that morning. And you say, "Yeah, I have to put that into practice." That's obedience. That's all guided and blessed by the Holy Spirit. Scripture is your main food source here. If you don't have regular time in it, you'll end up malnourished. You'll be spiritually weak, and probably you'll end up being disobedient. You'll certainly be less of a robust Christian. As Anglicans, we have a healthy understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Our liturgies down through the centuries have always been full of mentions of the Holy Spirit and how he works in our worship. Our church comes out of the English Reformation in the 16th century. From the beginning, this is how the reformers defined the church. If you say to yourself, how do I find a good church? What is the church? Well, here's how we define it in our denomination. The visible church of Christ is a congregation of faithful people in which the pure word of God is preached and the sacraments be duly ministered according to Christ's ordinance. What that means is that when you have a church, you have to have the preaching of the word of God and then the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Even though the Holy Spirit isn't mentioned by name in that little definition, John 14 tells us that when the pure word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit is here as your teacher and your guide. I can tell you, if the Spirit isn't here to drive these words of God deep into your heart and your mind, there's a problem. And if we don't have the Spirit here with us, we cease to be a church. We're just simply a Sunday gathering of people. We might be listening to Scripture, but there's no teaching ministry. What Jesus is saying is that you need a teacher. Otherwise, you're like the grade 3 classroom without the teacher in the room. It's chaos, and Scripture becomes whatever we want it to be. Back to John 14 and this teaching ministry. Once the Spirit is actively engaged in helping you obey the teaching of Scripture, there's an immediate benefit. Listen to this. This is indescribable, really. My words won't do justice. Listen to what Jesus says. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Then he says, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. We will come to them and make our home with them. So here's where the benefits start piling up. This is really an embarrassment of riches. This is unbelievable, because the riches of God are given to those who don't deserve them and can never earn them. They're simply given. What are the riches? Well, we know the forgiveness of sins. We're justified. We have the washing of rebirth. We have the gift of eternal life. The born-again person discovers spiritual gifts that God's given, and they begin to use those gifts and display spiritual fruit in their lives, all through the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 23 in John 14, Jesus says that in response to someone loving him and obeying his teaching, the Father will also love them, and God in his fullness will move into your life. He says, we'll come and make our home with you. That means that God in his fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will move into your life. He'll take up residence in your heart and your mind. That is simply transforming at a level that words can't grasp. This transformation touches every part of you, changes you from the inside out. The problem is, when we try to change ourselves, we try to change ourselves from the outside in. You know, if I change my behavior towards other people, eventually it'll take root. And if I just kind of grit my teeth and love my enemy, maybe eventually I might feel that. Jesus is saying, no, you need to be changed from the inside, and then it works itself out in the good works. Think about a physical home for a second. You're living in your home. You want to rent out a room. Along comes the tenant, but this isn't any tenant. This is Father, Son, and Spirit moving in and taking up residence in your home. This is not a temporary tenant. It's not someone who's ever going to break the lease. They are with you forever. They've started calling your heart their home. What do they do when they move in? Things start to change. The closets are opened up. All the baggage you've been carrying and hanging on to is taken away to the dump. The skeletons in the closet are taken away. The light and the fresh air comes into the dark and musty places, and your soul is renewed and refreshed. That's the imagery here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come and make their home with you, and you change at the deepest level, the level of your spiritual DNA. As one who loves Jesus, you can ask today for the Holy Spirit to help you obey his teaching and to come alongside you as you sit under preaching, as you dig into the Word privately or with others, as you read Christian books, and as you pray and reflect on what Scripture means. I guarantee you, if you ask him, he'll be there right next to you as your teacher and your reminder. So that's one thing. The Holy Spirit teaches us and helps us love and obey Jesus. And the second thing, briefly, is the teaching ministry teaches us about the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ. it's a term we often throw around quite quickly, especially when we pass the peace. Here's what it means. Listen to John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." The gift Jesus is talking about here is the gift of peace with God. This is more than just saying, well, I have peace with God. This is knowing and trusting that His blood shed on the cross has washed you clean in God's sight. You have peace with God. Absolutely. Now and every day into the future and for eternity. You're now fully right with God because of the purity of Jesus' sacrifice. Nothing else could do it. How do we know this? We don't know it by intuition. We don't know it by random discovery. This is revealed truth. This is revealed to us. It's revealed when we encounter the Word of God. It's what Jesus refers to in John 16:13 when he talks more about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." That's an unfolding truth over the years as you live in Christ. Jesus said, "The Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." This is unbelievable stuff. The Spirit receives the word from Jesus. He makes it known to God's people. And this actually explains those wild stories you hear when people who don't believe are converted, when they simply hear the word of God and they respond. They don't respond to Christ because the preacher is charismatic or funny, or there are lots of gimmicks. They don't respond to Christ truly just because the worship music sounds great. They respond because the Spirit has taken God's word, driven it home, screwed it down into their heart so it's there, and they've heard the gospel for the first time. And then by God's grace, they respond to the Spirit. They respond. In closing, I just want to remind you and assure you that as you love and obey Jesus, please know that you'll never do it perfectly. Nobody ever does. Instead, keep intentionally working at your obedience and take it seriously. Take it seriously. There's a reason Jesus says the Spirit comes to teach us and remind us. He's saying you can't do it alone. You can't rely on your own brilliance. You need the Spirit to guide you and teach you. So please trust this teacher. When God moves into your life, there's a complete renovation that happens. Amazing things happen. There's spiritual fruit. You start using your spiritual gifts in new ways. The body of Christ is built up. The peace of Christ, the love of Christ is shared with the world. And you discover this peace that Jesus mentions. This is peace at the deepest level. This is the truth that His resurrection has kicked death and sin to the curb forever. God's grace has been given to you richly. You've been adopted into the family and given a new status. Good news, isn't it? It's great news. When we hear God's word read, as we've heard it read this morning, there's something powerful going on. The Holy Spirit is coming. And He's saying, "I'm going to teach you what this means. Read it, digest it, spend time in it, and I'll be right there to teach you and to remind you." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful people. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Direct and rule our hearts in all things. Empower us for witness and ministry. And daily increase in us your gifts and fruit. All to the glory of God the Father, through Jesus our Lord. Amen.